Hey guys, so glad to have you back on the Enduring Churches podcast. Alan and Trent here. It's spring. It's that wonderful time of the year. I'm sure everyone's baseball team is going to the World Series. So it's just like that wonderful place where hope springs eternal. And I hope you're having a great day. So Trent, we want to talk to some people about some things that we've seen somewhere. So tell us what you've seen and what you've brought to us.
Yeah, I'm like you all, I'm sure, that you're part of different groups on Facebook and social media, Twitter and all that. And so I'm part of two or three groups for pastors, and one of them is called the Pastor Circle. And one day, not too long ago, one of the folks on there issued a challenge. I think it was someone who was just getting into the role of pastor. And this person wanted to get the best advice that anyone had to share when it comes to being a pastor. And so I kind of gathered this. I was talking back and forth with them. But I thought, man, this would make a great podcast episode just for us to share some of the things, some pieces of advice for someone who's considering being a pastor and wrestling with a call.
Well, great. Well, before we jump into it, Trent, I'm just going to tell you, you know, some people would look at you and say, you know, Twitter is so last year. I'm on X now.
Oh, so. Yeah. Okay. I'm not cool. I admit it. I'm old. So just take me with a grain of salt, right?
Yeah. Well, there's some advice for your pastoral ministry. You're no longer on Twitter. You're on X. So there you go. Yeah. So Trent, what makes it stick out when someone gives a piece of advice in your mind? What makes that advice sticky?
Well, I think there's a lot of the things we're going to share are very practical and scriptural too. There's some things I think that are very scriptural and very practical that help us to, as the reason we title our podcast is the Enduring Churches Podcast, because we want you to stick in your ministry position. We want you to last. And so, Alan, I'm going to ask you, if you wouldn't mind reading that passage in 2 Timothy chapter 4, if you wouldn't mind reading that. I know it's in the King James, but it's all good.
That's why you gave it to me, because it's in the King James today.
That's right.
And you know, I memorized all these in the King James at one point in time, but now I have like four translations in my head when I read a passage. But
yeah,
you know, it's, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, which, by the way, long-suffering is a great word, isn't it, Trent?
Mm-hmm.
For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts they shall heap to themselves teachers having itchy ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. So again, this whole idea that we need to be ready, we always need to be accountable for what we're doing. And I love that passage.
Well, and in the middle of that, it says in verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. I was like, man, we just need to do an episode on that. That is our day and time today, even within the church, but that's for a different day. But one of the pieces of advice that both Alan and I, we thought really stuck out, is this one. It said, the church is the bride of Christ, not yours. Don't cheat on your wife with the church. And so, Alan, what did you think about that one?
Yeah, I love it, because it is one of those sticky ones. Like, you're going to remember that statement, right? The church is Christ's bride. You better not cheat. You better not cheat on your wife with her, you know.
Yeah.
And the idea that sometimes we can get so wrapped up into our church ministry that we forget that our first ministry is at home, and we can forget that really easily. You know, we've all heard the stories of pastor kids whose dads never came to their events, but went to everyone else's events. And, you know, I think by and large, pastors are maybe doing better all in all in this area. But it's a reminder we can't lose sight of.
Absolutely. And, you know, sometimes people go to the opposite end. You and I have talked about this, where a pastor will say, well, no, I'm not going to go visit that person in the hospital because it's my Sabbath. And I'm like, come on, man. Do ministry, and God will give you some other time to do that. And so there are times it's both sides of that. There's so many on here, Alan, I want to get to. But this one here, self-care is ministry too. An empty vessel pours no wine. Boy, that one's sticky. That's like a t-shirt thing that you could do.
That is on your coffee mug, right? That's here's right. My self-care. So we all need, I can get through this as long as I got coffee, right? Mm-hmm. So we can all think in ways where, you know, how am I going to get through this? And if we're running on empty all the time, you know, we're not much good to ourselves. We're not much good to others. We do need to take time. And we talked about that recently. We talked about some of the hidden disciplines. I think we kind of mm-hmm. are jumping maybe into some of those things, but you need to make sure that you care for yourself and that you have a good hobby in there somewhere. I think a hobby is very important. You know, I love to do athletic-y things. I'm into this pickleball stuff. I mean, I was on the front of the fad, but you know, I love to do pickleball. My knees are feeling good, I love to go for a jog. You love to go like dig stuff up and do crazy things with tractors and whatnot.
Yeah, man, it's all good. Yeah. So time outside though, we both like that. And so, yeah, do some of that self-care. We do want you to protect yourself and so that you can last a long time. And one of the people on that social media site, they also said, don't run. You know, stick with your church. It takes 10 years to build a church. And you and I have said that it takes, you know, 3 and 4 years to really to become someone's pastor. And some people would say 5 and 6 years. So we want you to stay in your position. It's going to be hard times, right? People can be no fun, but it's important to stay with it.
Yeah. You know, someone said that, you know, if you're truly called, that call will sustain you. And I think that's a great statement. And I think at face value, it's true. I think there are times you're going to question your call, though. And I think there are going to be times that you wonder if you really were called because of what you've been through. And so, you know, I think sometimes maybe it's not even our call, maybe it's that desire just to persevere and deciding, hey, I'm going to stick through it until I can get on the other side of this and know what the truth is. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think it's a good reminder to do that.
I was visiting with a pastor yesterday, Alan, and he had just come out of a situation where he was very hurt. He ended up leaving his church. Right now he's working in the business world. And I told him, I said, man, I totally understand where you're coming from. There was been times where I prayed, God, either kill me or take me out of here. And you know, you struggle with those times and it's hard to deal with all the crud of church. If it was just preaching, then, you know, we could do that and enjoy it, but there's a lot of other things that we have to deal with. And so we want to give you some people advice on here too.
Yeah. And so people, you know, people are the crazy part of ministry, right? Because you don't know what to expect. And I love that there was some guy whose real name was Dr. Pepper. I mean, this sometimes you just can't make up these things. Who said, you know, promise me the first thing to do is love your people. And we just finished a podcast that we recorded on Valentine's Day of this year, where we talked about loving your congregation. And when I was going through all this people advice, Trent, the thing that stuck out to me was how many times over and over again it said, love your people, love your people, love your people. So when we did that podcast, we weren't just blowing smoke. There is a deep, deep truth to the ability to pastor a long time in loving your people.
Yeah, I have to name drop here because you said Dr. Pepper, and there's Dr. Pepper Purrier at First Baptist in Mount Vernon, Texas. That's his name. It's not his last name, but hey, this works. He's a good guy. And so, yes, we want to love on our people. Pastoring, one of them said, pastoring is more than preaching. Get to know the people, culture, tradition of the church before you start making drastic changes. Man, I would say amen, amen. And you and I just last week, we just shared about the culture. And so, you know, it's important. And sometimes people come in, you know, the pastor will come in and say, hey, I'm going to change everything. And there are a couple of people that are like, yeah, change it all. And then everybody gets angry because they start changing it all. And so change can be wonderful, but you need to take your time to understand.
You know, Trent, it's amazing to me how many pastors go in and I'll talk to them. They're getting ready to go into a church and they'll say, well, you know, I got to change the culture, you know, and it makes sense. You know, there's a reason if churches have been find themselves without pastors, maybe there's conflict, there's a negative culture. I've been preaching in some churches recently that have had some issues. You know, so I get the idea that cultures sometimes need to change, but cultures don't change overnight. They don't change because you go in and say, hey, we're going to do this and this and this. And all of a sudden the culture's changed. They have to observe it. They have to absorb it. They have to work on it. They have to fail at it. They have to struggle to get there. It's a process, and change is a process. And we all want change to happen overnight because, oh, well, if we would just do this, everything will be fine. And it's just not that easy. And, you know, the idea of change dynamics, one of the areas I think we're going to see more writing on and more pastoral books on is the art of making change, because too many pastors go in with the wrong idea of what change is and mess more things up than they actually do fix things.
And one of the others that stuck out, it's just two words, sheep bite.
Now that's a t-shirt.
That is. I'm gonna make me one, man. That's awesome. I'm gonna sell it to every pastor I know, man. That's awesome. Oh goodness. And there's some of those that there's more truth in there than we want to admit,
but, yeah. And some of those sheep have dentures, so anyway.
Yeah, buddy. Another one you mentioned about that several of these things said, love your people. And this one pastor shared to love Jesus with all your heart, right? The first command. And then to protect your family at all costs. I think that's so important. And then the third thing he put was to preach the whole word. So, Alan, what are your thoughts about those things that he wrote?
Yeah, you know, that's a very short list, but I love that list. It's kind of a philosophy of ministry, I think. You know, I'm gonna love the Lord. I answer at the end of the day to one person, and this idea I'm gonna protect my family. You know, stand up for your church. You know, when you go to your other gathering of other pastors, just don't sit and berate your church all the time and talk about how they're not doing this or they're not doing that. You know, talk about what they're doing well some. You know. No, you're not going to go tell everyone how rotten your kids are all the time and have a close relationship with your kids. You shouldn't expect to do that with your church either. So, you know, be positive, you know, protect your church and protect them from false teaching and from the predators that would come in, from predators inside and all those kinds of things. And then to get to the whole word, you know, there we all have the places we like to preach. In fact, I've got a vision in my head here for a podcast that someday we're going to get it done, and where we do a fantasy draft of the passages or the books of the Bible we want to preach on. But we all have our favorite things that we like to preach on, but we need to get to the whole counsel of God. There's some things that make us uncomfortable, and we need to be willing to be uncomfortable even preaching those things.
Well, as you're talking about that, you know, speaking well of your church, I would warn pastors about that too, because I think that's part of the reason why we have less or fewer people going into ministry is that they've heard those in ministry complain all the time. And they're saying to themselves, why in the world would I want to go and do that to myself? It doesn't sound fun at all. And so, and you and I have done this, Alan, but we should speak well of ministry because it is the bride of Christ.
Absolutely. That's an important reminder. I'm glad you brought that one out because we need to probably say that every week these days. Wow. If we're going to see a new generation of pastors coming in too, we can't be talking badly about the role that God calls us to all the time. You know, so Trent, we talked about change a little bit ago and the change dynamics. someone actually put a little list together on change. And the first thing he said was that almost everyone wants the church to change. Now, I'm not sure I completely agree with that, but almost everyone wants the church to change. Almost no one wants to make the changes necessary to see the church change. Now, I wholeheartedly agree with that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then he says to evaluate, then to assess, to get God's mission and vision for the church, and then to start working on it. And there's a process for you. I mean, I think that's a very, very grounded process. Again, change takes time, and you got to have a process. And you can go read books on strategy. There are books out there on strategic leadership. Aubrey Malfers is one guy. If you're not familiar with his work, he wrote a ton on this subject, and you can still get his books. Great stuff out there. There's plenty in the business world as well. But learn something about change and about how you change a group of people. And that's true. I know the church is an organism and not an organization, but it's an organism with organization. And we need to treat it as such. And we need to make sure that we deal with both the organism and the organization in a wise manner. So I thought that was a really good list.
Yeah, I like that. And it reminds me of the churches that I was called to pastor. And I remember the search committee people visiting with me and almost to a person saying, yeah, our church needs to make some changes. And so that you go into this thing expecting to make some changes. Luckily, I had some mentors that warned me about changing things too quickly. But then when you get there, sometimes either they're upset with you because you didn't change enough quickly, or they're upset with you because you change things too quickly. And so it's hard to do change and do it well.
Yeah, and change is always fun when it's the change you want. It's not always fun when it's change that's forced upon you that you didn't expect. So, you know, you may be excited to change something as a pastor, but you also remember that you're changing people's 40 years of habits when you come in and you do that. So just be mindful of those things. And Trent, there's one in here in these lists. So a lot of these were standalone statements, and then a few people put some lists together. And there's a list here. And it said the first thing that you need to do is listen. And the second thing you need to do is listen. And the third thing you need to do is listen. Then you can lead, ask questions, fall in love, and then you need to listen. That's a pretty good one.
I love that list, and I didn't write it, which I would have agreed with that for sure, because we've talked on this podcast a lot about listening and how important that is. So way to go, whoever added that list. That is so true. Most conflict goes away when somebody feels that they've been heard. You can take that to the bank. If you're struggling with a conflict with someone, if you will just take time to listen, then a lot of that conflict will go away. And you will have the right to speak into the lives of other people if they know that you've given them time to speak first and that you actually listen to them. So I love that list. It's so important to listen. Then they'll give you the opportunity to lead and to fall in love with.
Yeah, and let's talk just real briefly about leadership, Trent. Something that's just been burning in my heart lately is this idea of leading. And I feel like there's a sense among some pastors now that I want to preach, but I don't want to lead. And it doesn't work that way. You can't do that. If you don't want to lead, don't be a pastor. We need pastors who are willing to lead out and make some difficult decisions, to say some hard things in love, but to set a direction that does require change, because change is a part of what we do. But you've got to earn the right to do it, but you've got to be willing to do it. And there are going to be times you have to do some things that make you very uncomfortable. You're going to have to do some things that hurt and bring you personal pain. But I can tell you the consequences, from my observations at least, is that when pastors avoid conflict and they avoid dealing with what needs to be dealt with, they just keep passing problems down the line to someday some pastor comes in and there's so many problems that those problems begin to bury the church and begin to bury the ministry. And so we need guys who will be willing to step up and lead today and to lead wisely by being good listeners.
Yeah, I think you hit on a key there. I think a lot of people would say they don't want to lead because they don't want to deal with conflict. And I'm going to say something that may anger somebody, but I think that's why a lot of people are wanting to go into church planting rather than pastoring an existing church, is because they don't want to deal with conflict. And they want to be able to set the rules. Well, guess what? You're still going to have conflict, even if you have a church plant. What you said is absolutely true, Alan. Don't go into pastoring, don't go into ministry if you're not wanting to lead, because that's what our churches need. They need godly leaders, servant leaders. And so, yeah, you've got to be willing to do that.
Yeah, and we want to see you lead over the long haul. That's why we do the podcast, and that's why we bring some of these things to you. I love these. These are just great suggestions for ministry. I love it when people share the things in their lives, because someone probably said these type of things to them when they were getting started, and they actually stuck with them. You know, and I can remember some of the things that were said to me early on, you know, that have stuck with me. A good sermon begins with a good text. You know, that's one that has just always, always been there. And I'm never going to forget Sheep Bite. That's a really good one. So
that's right. Love that. So get your shots before you go into ministry. So, yeah, there's a lot of lists. We could keep adding on more and more. There was a bunch on here. But we do want you to know that it's good to have mentors as you're going into ministry, people that will take time to teach you. That's why Alan and I do this podcast. Somebody invested in us years ago, and now we have the desire to invest in other people. So that's why we do what we do here at the Enduring Churches podcast. And we want to say thank you so much for taking a little bit of time to listen. If you have questions or you'd like to suggest another episode, please get in contact with us. We'd love to hear from you. So God bless you, and we hope that you will tune in next week for another edition of the Enduring Churches podcast.